songs, I don't believe we can imagine, church. Not really. Amen. In our thoughts, we know what's in the Word, and we read that, and we try to, at least I have, I've tried to get my mind around it. I was thinking just what Harry said. You know, it's just too big, heaven, for us to get our mind around it, really. I just can't imagine a place where there's no fussing, no arguing, nobody dies there. People live forever there, amen. It's all full of joy and happiness and goodness, and it's all about worshiping Him, amen. And I'll tell you, you know what, I think it's a practice field here to how we're going to worship, because you know what, when we get there, that's all we're going to do. It's going to be full of worship, amen, and lifting Him and praising Him and for all of eternity, amen. And I don't know, I'm looking forward to getting there, I really am. I think it would be foolish for people to go all their life and say that they've trusted the Lord when in their heart sometimes many of them know they haven't and miss the greatest thing that God has for His people, and that's that place called heaven. Amen. It's good to see you this morning. I'll tell you, I hope you, I know you have, because many of you have told me that, miss the church, and I miss the church. I'll tell you, and I miss you as the people of the church. You are the church. Amen. Without you, there'd be no church. Amen. We'd just have a building. But even if you showed up here, if you didn't know Christ, we didn't know Christ. We only are the church because we know Him. Amen. Have relationship with Him. And we're His kids. Amen. And I like to think of it like that. He is our Father and we're His kids. And He loves His kids and wants good things for His kids. Amen. This morning, thank you for being here. Somebody gave me a little note this morning and said, don't forget, we've not had three services. So think how long you get to preach today. Huh? Come on. They're warming up dinner. It may be too early. No, I actually probably will preach the message that I've prepared, though, in two parts. Part one today, or A, whichever you want to call it. Amen. But I want to talk about hard times are good for us. Amen. And I know that sounds like an odd title or even an odd thought sometimes as I read God's Word, I begin to realize, you know what? There's some places in our lives, church, that you and I are going to walk. We didn't ask for them. We don't like them. We hope we don't come to them. But I can assure you, before life's over, if you're anything like most people, you're going to come to some hard times in your life, some places that you don't like in your life. Amen. You may get through them. I hope you get through every one of them. Amen. And I can tell you, you will get through every one of them if God is with you, because He promised to get us through those hard places and those hard times. But don't think that you're not going to experience any. I think one of the biggest misconceptions that we hear on TV sometimes, and I'm just going to tell you, church, don't think because you know Jesus, that's a sign that your life's going to be easy or blessed all the time and you're never going to have a problem. Most of us know that. But if you think that, let me tell you, it doesn't mean because you know Him that your life's necessarily going to get any easier than it is maybe right now. Come on. It just means, you know what? You're covered by His blood and you're going to spend eternity with Christ. If something would happen to you or you would leave this life. So all of us experience hard times. We could call them whatever we want. Tribulations, frustrations, aggravations. I mean, there's all kinds of words for it. And we could call them anything we want to. But David called it this in the 23rd Psalm and verse 4. When he spoke the words, he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." David called it a valley of a shadow of death. And I thought about that. In other words, he was saying, being a valley, that it's a low place. It's a place that tends to pull you down or take you down. Amen. The valley. And it's a place, listen, if there's no shadow there or the shadow of darkness, he said, that means there's no sunlight there. You've only got a shadow whenever there's sunlight. But if it's a shadow, you know what? The shadow's the part that there's no sunlight. So it's a dark place and a low place. And it's a place, he's saying, that there's no life whatsoever. That sounds like a hard place. David went to a hard place and he was in a hard place. There's things that happen in our lives, listen, all through our lives. It can literally feel like it drains the life right out of us. I've had some conversations just in the last couple of weeks with some people that are in some places they've never ever been before and walking right now in their life. And some of them feel like almost life itself has just been drained from them or is being drained from them. Amen. And they're suffering. And they're going through some really tough places or some hard things in their life. Amen. Let me give you an example. Sometimes we can live the very best life that we can live and doing everything as right as we think we can do it, that God would want us to do. And yet then we find out, you know what? Look, we come to some hard times, you know what, that just about knock us off our feet, right? How many of us have ever been there? I have. Different times in my life. Or maybe you work for a company. And many of you might be able to relate to this, and they got all kinds of policies, regulations, and so forth. And you do the very best you can. When all of a sudden, you know what, whoever's over you or in authority over you, you take a chewing out for something that you had no responsibility for whatsoever. Or it wasn't even maybe in your department. But for some reason, you got the blame and took that. And the whole thing was beyond your control. You had no control of any of it. That can be a hard place. Sometimes some of you may have lost a job because you took a stand for Christ sometimes, or you stood up for what was right. And the first thing you know, you're turned into the bad guy because you stood for what was right and you've lost your job and you've been fired. Now you have no income. Amen. And so those are places in our lives sometimes. Maybe some of you have tried to live right all your life from this standpoint and do the best you can with your body. You've worked out. You know what? You never touched a drop of alcohol, smoked a cigarette or anything that we consider biggies sometimes in church. And you're going along and you've done everything right. When sickness all of a sudden hits you and almost every day or every week, guess what? Something else comes up and something else comes up. And it's a continual cycle that just hits your life and it begins to seep almost, or like I said, take life right out of you. And then you know some people that, guess what? They've done everything wrong like that. And they've abused their body day after day after day. And yet they're living good, still healthy, still going strong, you know what? And you've done everything you could to try to take care of your body. But in the book of Peter, I want to read some scripture to you out of 1 Peter. You might want to go there if you have your Bibles with you this morning. It'll be on the screen. But in the 4th chapter, Peter wants us to know, you know what, that these kind of places come to all of us. It just happens. Like I said, being a Christian, amen, it's not necessarily according to God's will or not according to God's will. But he lets us know there's some places that's just going to happen in our life in that 4th chapter. But the thought, like I said, that you know what, you're going to be free from all that, church, is just not truth. Don't buy into that as a Christian, or you'll be discouraged more than you'll ever be on top of things. Amen. In fact, being in the center of God's will might mean, you know what, that you're going to suffer more than you've ever suffered before. Hello? Have you ever thought about that? I know we think that's contrary to Scripture, but let me read some Scripture for you and talk about some things from God's Word this morning. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Here's the tough part, but rejoice. Inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. For if you be reproached or rebuked or reprimanded or disapproved of, whatever word you want to put there, for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Listen, I just want to say this. I was thinking about our Sunday school lesson this morning. If you weren't here, we had a good Sunday school lesson. But we was talking about praying for our nation, and we should pray for our nation. And we want right things for our nation, and we want a nation that's godly. But here in the Scripture, He says, you know what? Judgment must begin at the house of God, church. Listen, we can't expect government to be right. Do everything right. Amen. And be honest about everything. If in our own lives, you know what? We're not living lives that are acceptable to God. He said, first let judgment begin at the household of God. Make sure we're living right, doing the right things, doing those things that would please God. Amen. So let judgment begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. Now look, there's a suffering that is according to the will of God. But there's also suffering, amen, that we go through because we're not doing the will of God a lot of times. And I'll talk about that probably during this sermon, but it may be next week, the second part of that. The keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Paul gives us some hard things to think about. And they're hard because, listen, they're hard to apply to our life. They're hard for us to do, but they're necessary lessons and they're useful lessons for our life. Amen. Because he tells us how we can't totally escape the hard times, but we can get through the hard times with the help of Christ. Hebrews 12:8, I'm reading it out of the Amplified, says this. Now, if you're exempt from correction and left without discipline in which all of God's children share, listen, all of God's children's disciplined. Amen? The Father disciplines us. He lets us know, you know what? There's things we do that aren't right. There's things that we do that need to change. There's things that maybe we've done all of our life. Amen? That when we come to Christ, amen, He makes us a new creation and begins to live in us and through us so that we're more pleasing and more like God. He said, in which all of God's children share, then you are illegitimate offspring. And not true sons at all. Peter's speaking specifically about trials and persecution. Amen. About that which most of us really know nothing about. I thought, you know what? We call things today, we're so persecuted. Or we have so many problems. But some of us, listen, maybe we've suffered a little rejection or possibly we've been ridiculed for our testimony or taking a stand for Christ. But I don't really consider those things, maybe some do, as being any kind of real persecution, at least not my life, I don't, amen. Others may have lost your job, like I said, because you took a stand for Christ. But to be persecuted, amen, there's people, listen, in China today that are literally being put to death or put in prison for the rest of their life. Their property, anything they own, being taken from them and stripped from them just because they may get caught reading the Bible. And we might think, well, big deal, that's in China. Well, it is a big deal when you think about it. That's real persecution, church. Amen. When you're doing something for Christ and you're standing up for Christ and then you go through such severe penalty, maybe have your life taken, your property or anything and everything that you own because you take a stand for Jesus Christ. That's real persecution. Peter's lessons, listen, they apply to all of us that suffer, amen? And if we should ever suffer for our faith, listen, these lessons are good for us to know in advance that I'm going to give you, and you ought to write them down, amen? Or they may be in your handout. The handout, I'm going to tell you, I done it about 3 weeks ago, so I don't remember. I told Justin, I hope I sent you the scriptures I'm preaching from this morning. And Justin, I asked him if the title of the sermon was, you know what it is, and he said, yeah. I said, well, I think we'll be all right. The first thing this morning as Christians, God's Word lets us know we ought to expect trials, church. I mean, we ought to know that trials are going to happen. 1 Peter 4:12, I read it, beloved, think it not strange concerning. Look, he calls it a fiery trial. It's something that's serious. You know what? Let me tell you, you get a fire in your home, you know as well as I do. If you got any kind of brain at all, you know what? Most of us are going to the phone and we're going to make a phone call as quick as we can because fire gets out of control real easy and real quickly. And so he calls these fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you and me. We're not to think it's strange when things hit our life, church, or be surprised when things hit our life. Amen. Peter wrote, we're often, here's the thing, we are surprised by them though, aren't we? He warns us about them in advance. And he tells us we ought to be ready for the fiery trials. And we ought to know that they're going to come. But there's not a one of us most of the time when something major hits our life. You know what? We act like it's some big surprise all at once that somebody got seriously ill. Or we lost somebody lost their home that we knew was going through. Whatever it might be, it catches us by surprise. Most often we're surprised by the intensity of the trial more than we are the trial. Hello. Man, I knew I didn't feel well, but I didn't think it was this bad. You know, I didn't know I was going to go through all this, you know, and I've been praying and I've been asking God. But the intensity of the trial when it hits our life. Here's the thing. Can we be godly and can we be what God wants us to be right in the intensity of the trial? Amen. In spite of what Peter wrote, listen, we're so surprised sometimes. But in the day of Nero, you know, he probably wrote this scripture if you know anything about Nero. He was a very cruel person. In fact, many would relate him to like a Hitler today or something similar. But Nero would take people and he would literally put stakes through people. And he would have his parties or get-togethers. And he would pour over those people things that would help when he set them on fire. And they would burn just for a little light to light his garden parties with. And if he didn't kill them in that way, many times he would take them to an arena. And he would throw them in that arena and he would feed them to the lions right in front of the public. That's real persecution, church. That's the kind of persecution people were put through in that day. And that's about as intense as you can get, I think. Amen. How many of you think how you'd feel if today, and I'm not so sure, you know what, we think we're living in a time and nothing like that will ever happen. But I was thinking about just what took place, whether you agree with it or not, and I'm sure you heard it on the news, where they had like 29 officers show up at Mr. Stone's house, all kinds of automatic weapons and everything you can think of, and man's never committed a real crime in his life, never owned a weapon known of or done anything like that, and yet they're taking him out at 2 in the morning, amen, and hauling him off to jail, church. I'm telling you, America, I'm like Wayman, we're in some real trouble today, let me tell you, and don't think that we couldn't face some real persecutions, maybe like in that day, if we don't begin to humble ourselves and pray, as it says in the scripture, and pray for our nation, and get serious about it and mean business with God about it. Think about if your loved one, amen, they walked through the door today and they was taking them out. And you know what? Hey, a spear is going to be put through them and they're going to be stuck in the ground. And in about 5 minutes, guess what? They're going to be lit on fire. Amen. Just so they can have a little bit of light, so they can sit around and flirt with their women and have their parties. That's what they were doing in Nero's day. Amen. And so we need to know, you know what? That we're going to be faced with all kinds of things. But one of the greatest way to avoid those things we talked about in Sunday school, humble ourselves and pray. Amen. Before God, get serious with God. So we could look at that and we could say, well, where was God in all of that? See, we could say some of those peoples were Christians that he literally put to death, church. You know what? That stood for the gospel. So don't think because you're a Christian that you're safe just because, you know what? You know God, I'm thankful today that I know him. And I hope that you know him, you know what? So that we can inherit eternal life in heaven someday. But don't think it keeps you from that kind of trials. Not only are we surprised by the intensity of the trials, but sometimes, listen, we're surprised by the purpose of the trial. How many of you has ever gone through something, or maybe you're in the middle of something right now, and if you was honest, you'd say, I don't understand what the purpose is. It's not just the intensity, it's the purpose of what we go through so many times. Amen. Like I said, Peter called it a fiery trial. He said they come upon us because they're a test of our faith, church. Amen. God wants to know, you know what? Listen, he does. We talk about how much we trust him, but he wants to know that we really trust him. Amen. Most of us, I think we flatter ourselves, don't we? We always like to think we're so holy, or we're so better than the next person, or we know God in a greater intensity and way than somebody else. Amen. But he lets us know, you know what? Our Christian life, listen, I hope that God don't ever put some of us through the kind of intense trials they went through in that day just to test our trust. But he does sometimes test that and want to know. Amen. Sometimes we don't realize the depth of our own sins, church. We don't. In fact, we go through life many times day in and day out and we accept the fact or we've bought into the fact that no matter what, you know what, I'm okay and I'm doing okay because everything's good at my house. Come on. And so sometimes we don't, we're not willing to deal with our own sin, amen, or the shallowness of our own joy or praise or honoring God many times when God's asked for the simplest thing. You know what, that I just offer a sacrifice of praise. That's all I want from you. Hello. He tests our, through trials many times our faith. If you're a Christian, listen, your faith must be and will be tested. Whether you like it or whether you don't, it will be. And I'm sure those of us that have served the Lord for a while would tell you, you know what? People go through stuff all the time. And it seems like it's a constant testing of our faith. Amen. Peter's readers were catching persecution from their former friends in 1 Peter 4 and 4. If you want to look there, I didn't give Justin these scriptures. They were catching persecution from their friends. People that they thought cared about them and loved them. How many of you have ever had people that you thought really loved you and cared about you? And they give you the biggest amount of problems at some point in your life. Amen? That can happen and does happen. Amen? They thought it was strange. And yet in 4:12, we just read, you know what? It's not a strange thing when these things begin to happen to you and I. In fact, we ought to, like I said, be expecting them. They reasoned, you know what? Don't they know that just trying to help them? Don't they know we're just trying to be good to them? Don't they know I just want them to be a Christian and I want them to be saved? And yet in all that, you know what? Those very people sometimes become the very biggest persecutors of our lives. Sometimes our own families. The Bible tells us in the last days, you know what? Hey, kids will hate their parents and parents their own children. It'll get to that place, church. And so those things come upon us so many times. Listen, in fact, the scripture said, look, for no other reason, Jesus said, because they hated him, they're going to hate me and you. Hello? They don't need any other reason except to know that you love Jesus and I love Jesus. Amen. John 15, verses 18 and 19 said this, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So don't be surprised, church, listen, that the world don't like you. It shouldn't surprise you, or that they have a problem with you. Amen. They won't have any problem with you if you'll just go along with what the world wants. Amen. If you'll do and go every place they want you to go, do what they want you to do. But if you'll really stand for Christ in your home sometimes, your own children sometimes, come on. Amen. It's a testing of our faith. So we're not to think it strange when we catch opposition. Listen. Even in the church. Hello. Sometimes people in the church can persecute God's people more than anything. When we ought to be loving one another and caring for one another and giving our best for one another. If we're not careful, we become the worst persecutors of our brothers and sisters in Christ. It ought not be, church. Amen. Mark 13 and 9 said this, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils. And in the synagogues or the churches you shall be beaten. And you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake. For a testimony against them. Listen, we know Jesus was crucified by who, church? The religious, not Christians. Religious leaders in the church is who crucified Jesus. Amen. Religious people. People that have a form of godliness, but they deny the very power thereof. Amen. They don't follow the Spirit of God. They follow what they think is the wisdom of man. Amen. And they'll persecute the Christians. Amen. Matthew 23 and 31 said this, wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets, amen. So he's talking about these leaders. Listen, amen. They were children of the very people that killed the prophets in that day. And it just was passed along and handed down. Religious people, like I said, not Christians, often hide their sin many times behind that of being a Christian so many times, church. Amen. It's why we need the Spirit of God that lets us see and go beyond. Amen. and look into and to know those things. Amen. They've exposed, amen. They have exposed not being true followers of the cross. And therefore we ought to have a problem with that as Christians. Amen. We shouldn't find it strange when they speak critically about us or find fault with us. And I do believe the day will come, maybe not in our lifetime. I hope not. But I believe the day will come again that we will literally see persecutions in the churches, I do, in God's people. In fact, personally, I think it might not be too far away, and I'm not saying that carelessly, I say it honestly. As Christians, we should not be surprised by the trials. Again, we ought to expect trials, church. The second thing, as Christians, we ought to exult in our trials. In other words, we ought to rejoice. We ought to be overjoyed, the scripture says. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. But rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings. He said, when these things begin to happen to you and I, those of us that are Christians, you know what? He said it's part of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. For if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Look, when you're being persecuted, He said, if it's for Christ's sake, you know what? The glory of God's on you. Amen. If we do the right things and we take the right stand and we keep a right attitude and a right spirit and live a godly life, He said the glory of God will come out of that. Amen. That God will shine forth in mine and your lives. For the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, He is evil spoken of. I think about the world today. I tell you, I'm ashamed so many times. I am, church, of our government. I'm ashamed of many of the people in our nation who find everything to find fault with the gospel today and the church. And thank God it's not all, but it's way too many people. Amen. The one who gave His very life for them. And they speak evil about Him. But on our part, He said, you know what? He's glorified. Look, church, it means living a life, amen, that no matter what we're going through, people see a foundational strength in you and I and trust in God that no matter what we go through, you know what? God's glorified and He gets the glory in it, amen. We're still having the right spirit and the right attitude. Enduring trials is one thing, but exalting Him in them, something else altogether, isn't it? Amen. I know a lot of people that are good Christians until something hits their life. Hello. I'm talking when something really hits their life. And then they're either out of the church or all they can talk about are their problems when they ought to be, you know what, just giving God praise. Amen. He said we ought to be happy in those places. We're suffering in the same way Christ did. And we ought to rejoice in that. And I'm not saying that's an easy thing. But you know what I found out? We can get through our problems a lot quicker when we give Him praise and we rejoice in the middle of them. Amen. He comes to you and I. Amen. And He helps us in those places. Amen. And so we're to exalt Him. But it's impossible. I'm going to tell you, we can't do that in the natural. We talked about that in Sunday school class. That's why we need the Spirit of God in our life and in our heart, church. That's not the normal thing to do. You'll act like everybody else in those places unless you have the Spirit of God living in you and living through you, amen, that will help lift you up and let you to understand and really give you a revelation that you're suffering for Christ's sake, amen, when it's anything to do with the gospel. Only God can supernaturally do what needs to be done in our hearts and our lives, amen, in those places, church, and to help us get through them, amen. We may not rejoice, listen, in the trial, but we'll rejoice in what good we know. He said He works all things for the good, church. We'll rejoice in the good that we know He's going to bring out of that trial, in that circumstance, in that problem in mine and your life, amen. Romans 5, verses 3 and 4 said this, and not only so, but we glory or we exult in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And then James, in the first chapter, verses 2 through 4, James penned these words, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or various kinds of temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. Amen. that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. And so we go through those places and we're to do them with joy and right spirits, church. We can exalt in trials, listen, because they lead us to a deeper fellowship with Christ. Think about this. He died for mine and your sins, and you know what? Everybody that's died since then, nobody's been able to die for somebody's sin. Amen. When we realize that and we take that in, we really get a revelation of that and understand that. I don't care what you go through. You're not dying for anybody else's sins. Amen. But He died for our sins, church. Amen. When we suffer on behalf of the gospel, amen, we're going through something because we are a Christian and we know we're being put through it because of that reason, amen. We shouldn't get mad and angry and start hollering and carrying on like the world would. We need to rejoice in that understanding, you know what? We're suffering for the cause of Christ and we're also suffering unjustly, which God is the judge. We'll set those things straight and in order in His time. Amen. That we're not suffering many times unjustly. We're suffering because it is just. You know what? That we as a Christian, sometimes God lets us go to those places and we suffer because it's for the kingdom of God that others can see Christ in you and I. It makes us realize He went through much more on our behalf than no matter what I go through, that I'll ever go through on His behalf, church. Amen? He's done give His life, you know and I know, on the cross. Whatever we suffer on behalf of the gospel, the Lord comes in a special way and He affirms that He suffers with you and I. Amen. He takes it on Himself and He goes through it with us. I thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were in that fire right in the heat of the battle. You know as well as I do, you know what? When they seen that fourth man in the fire, He come along beside them because they were going to suffer for the gospel, for the sake of the gospel. And He came and He stood with them in the flames. And then in Acts, you could look it up, chapter 7 and verse 56, when Stephen was stoned. And for witnessing to the Sanhedrin. And you know what? They said, you know what? They see Him standing at the right hand of God. Amen. God comes and He stands with us in those hard places, church. And He's there for us and with us to get us through them. We need people, listen, that'll stand for the truth today. Hello. I said that'll really stand for the truth today. That won't be let the world waver them or the president's opinion waver them, but they're going to stand on the gospel. There's so much false teaching, listen, that is creeping into the churches today. No wonder the church is confused about what's truth and what ain't, church. Amen. So many times, listen, we watch things and we hear things and it gets into our spirit and it's wrong teaching if you'll open your Bibles and read your Bibles. It's easy to sort out. The Holy Spirit will sort it out for you if you'll get in the Word of God. Amen. So let's look at Acts 18 verses 9 and 10. Listen to this. It said, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. No man shall set on thee or attack these, what other versions say, to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. We need real Christians today with right spirits and right attitudes that know the truth and willing to stand and stand for the truth, church. Amen. The next thing, listen, if you're keeping notes, we can exalt in trials because they'll lead us to a deeper level of joy at His coming. Amen. 1 Peter 4 and 13b, or the second part of that scripture, says this, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Amen. At the revelation of His coming, church, you know what? It will be revealed. Amen. We'll see things, as I talked about a while ago and as the song said. You know what? It'll be unbelievable to you and I. We'll be able to rejoice and have joy in that. Amen. Right now, things are hidden, so much of it from our sight. He said it's like we're looking through a glass darkly. Amen. But the day will come when it will all be revealed. We can know small things. We can know a lot of things maybe in some ways in comparison to how we apply ourselves in the Word of God. Amen. But we can never know everything about His Word and the kingdom of God. Amen. But our sufferings now on His behalf will get us a front row seat, church. whenever he comes back. Amen. If you truly know him and you stand on the truth, you know what? And you're alive and on earth when he comes, you know what? It'll be revealed to you and you'll see him as he is returning for his church. Romans 8 and 18, Paul said it this way, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us," church. And then the last thing this morning is this. We can exalt in trials because they lead us to a deeper experience of the Spirit of God or of God's Spirit. 1 Peter 4 and 14 says this, "If you're reproached or attacked in an abrasive and angrily manner is what it means for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he's blasphemed, but on your part, he's glorified." Amen. Peter makes a distinction there between the Holy Spirit as the Spirit that's marked for glory. Amen. And also that divine Spirit of God. When the Spirit of glory rests on the believer, listen, something of God's attributes begin to shine forth. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Amen. God's attributes begin to show up in our lives, church, when we desire him and we chase after him and we're holding on to him. Peter's overall meaning is that when we suffer rejection because of Christ, people will see Christ in you and I if we live a godly life. Those who stoned Stephen, as I said, saw him, amen, as the face of an angel in Acts 6 and 15 said this, "And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel." It takes God's Spirit to fill us up to be able to do those things that I'm talking about this morning. And you know what? Let me tell you, a pastor needs a lot of work sometimes too in those areas. It's not easy. It's not to keep a right spirit and a right attitude when everything seems to be going wrong sometimes or you're going through the heat of the battle. Amen. But it can be done, church. Amen. He tells us to do that. He said, "Blessed are we when we do those things." Amen. That we should rejoice in those places. Amen. Be overjoyed in those places. Go beyond joy to the place you're overjoyed. That you're standing for Christ and going through the trials and the situations that you're in the middle of. But if we see that trials, listen, and especially persecutions, lead us to a deeper fellowship in Christ. You know, I can only speak a little bit here of my own life. I only know since I've been saved and trying to do the best that I know how to do for the Lord. And sometimes I feel I fall way short of that. And I say that honestly. But you know what, church? Listen, here's what I find out. In every trial and every situation, whenever I keep a right spirit and a right attitude, I become stronger in him. And I grow in him. And he stretches me more. Amen. And he lets me see things. And he fills me up with more and more joy that the next thing I go through, somehow it just makes it easier when I get there, seemingly, because I've already been to a few places in my life. Amen. We have a deeper fellowship with Christ and a deeper joy whenever he returns, amen, someday for the church, that we have a deep experience through the Holy Spirit that we grow in the hard places in mine and your life. Amen. I believe that. Some of you I know, and some of you I know you've been in some real tough places. Some of you I know is going through some tough places. There's nothing that speaks better for Christ, listen, than when we're in those places and we're in those trials. You know what? You talk about humbling yourself. We talked about that this morning. Amen. Humbling ourselves means we think about the other person more than we think about ourselves, church. Listen, think about Christ when we're in those places and how he would have us to act and the things he would have us to say. You know what? Instead of maybe getting into that self-pity and feeling sorry for ourselves. Amen. Think about what everybody else is going through. There's times in my life that I have done a lot of that. I always do tend to think, you know what? Sometimes even when it's been tough in my own life, there's people out there that I know been a lot of places that's got it a lot tougher. And we say it, then why don't we rejoice in our situations? Amen. So we become a blessing more to one another, more as a church, and more to God Himself and be glorified in those places. Amen. So next week I will finish the second part of this message because we're going to take a look. You know what? We are to rejoice. And we can do that, and God will help us do that. But every time we come, it's not the will of God to those places. Sometimes, you know what? We take ourselves to some of those places when we're suffering hardship. So next week, I'm going to talk about that a little bit and get into that a little bit. Because sometimes we do. It can be indicators of some things. And sometimes it's good for us to really grow in God and to examine our own lives and let the Spirit of God examine our lives. Amen. So that we know, you know what? Yeah, God will get us through it. But we know why we came there, and He'll show us how to get through there or out of there. Amen. Stand with me this morning. There's plenty of food, or I feel like there is. There always seems to be in the back. If you didn't bring anything this morning, we're going to go back and have a fellowship meal. Thank you for being here this morning. But pray about those things. You know what? The greatest example you'll ever be for Christ is what you are in all the hard places of your life, to your family, to your friends, at the church. Amen. It's just a great testimony. And we have great examples in God's Word that as they come to those places, God came along beside them. Amen. Walked with them and got them through them. He'll get us through them too. Amen. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your Word this morning. Father, I pray that You would help us just to become more and more like You, just to lift You, our Father, the One that gives us life. And the air that we breathe, as the song said this morning, God, I pray that You would help us to do those things as You did, that Your Father would tell You to do, and to be quick to be obedient to it. I pray that You would help us in every situation, that we would become a people, that we would support one another through lifting one another up, encouraging one another, and that You would help each one of us to realize, you know what? You brought us to a place that if You brought us there, we're capable of rejoicing in it, being overjoyed in it if we allow the Spirit of God to get a hold of our hearts. And we'll get through it quicker, better, and You'll get all the glory as other people see You walking in our life the way that You intend to. Thank You for each one that's here. Thank You that we could even be in church today. We give You praise for that. Ask You now to bless the food in the back. I pray that You would be with us in our time of fellowship. I pray that it will be a good time. Help us to just say right things, to be what we ought to be for You every place we are. And we give You praise in Christ's name. Amen. Go back and enjoy the food. I've already blessed it, and God's blessed it before I ever did. Amen. It's blessed. Go back and stay with us and enjoy the fellowship.
Thank you for listening to our message today. If you enjoyed this message, please let a friend know. If you'd like to contact our pastor, please call us at 765-332-2376. For more information about our church, you may visit our website at chicagocornerchurch.org. Church service is on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. You are always welcome to visit us in person.